best of our knowledge explores topics on learning, education, and research. Coming up, New York's governor has proposed free community college for older adults retraining for careers in high demand and emerging fields. A new lab at Western New England University is dedicated to studying extended reality. And Marist College has officially rebranded as Marist University. I'm Lucas Willard, host of The Best of Our Knowledge. You're listening to The Best of Our Knowledge. I'm Lucas Willard. New York Governor Kathy Hochul is proposing free community college for adults to retrain for careers in high-demand fields. The plan, included in her fiscal year 2026 state budget proposal, would provide free tuition for adult learners ages 25 to 55 pursuing degrees in several fields, including nursing, teaching, technology, and engineering. It comes as leaders in New York are seeking to make the Empire State a national hub for advanced manufacturing and semiconductor technology. State University of New York Chancellor John King, a former U.S. Education Secretary under President Obama, is standing behind the proposal. I spoke with King about the idea that must be approved by state lawmakers.
We're thrilled with Governor Hochul's proposal for a free community college. It really is a tremendous opportunity for folks 25 to 55 to come to one of our community colleges, get a degree in a high-demand field. So we're particularly focused on advanced manufacturing, cybersecurity, engineering and green jobs, nursing and the allied health fields. With that degree, folks will be able to improve their economic situation and their family's economic situation. You know, if you look across New York State, the average earnings of someone with just a high school diploma and no additional post-secondary degree, their earnings are about $41,000 a year. But if you look at what you make as an entry-level registered nurse, you're talking about $77,000 a year. I mean, that's transformative for a family. And so I think the governor's vision here is really about expanding opportunity for families and supporting the state's economic development. I hear from employers all the time that they need more qualified folks to come work for them. This is a way for the state to help make that possible.
Is this a change in philosophy to the community college model by making it free, or is it a return to sort of the original mission of community colleges?
I think this is in many ways a return to the original vision for community colleges. The idea is to provide access to an affordable quality education that will allow you to make progress, whether that's earning an associate's degree that translates immediately into a job or earning an associate's degree that helps you to transfer to a four-year bachelor's program. But, you know, if you look around New York right now, we're experiencing an advanced manufacturing renaissance. We've got a company like Micron coming to central New York. That's going to bring 50,000 jobs between the Micron chip fab and the supply chain companies. They're going to need a trained workforce for those roles. In New York, we're facing a very significant nursing shortage that's only going to grow in the years ahead. Our community colleges are well positioned to respond to that challenge and to help people access those wonderful careers. So this is really community colleges meeting the moment.
Now, Chancellor King, you and I sat down almost a year ago, and at the time we were discussing the TAP program in New York, the tuition assistance, for raising the income threshold for that and also raising the amount of tuition assistance that students would receive. Since that time, how have those increases had an effect? What have you observed?
You know, look, thousands more New Yorkers are benefiting from the tuition assistance program as a result of those changes. It's making college more affordable for them, which is a priority for Governor Hochul. And I believe it's contributed to our continued enrollment growth at SUNY. You know, these last 2 years, we've seen enrollment growth in every sector. That's the first time we've had that in 15 years. And I think it's the combination of the state's effort to make college even more affordable and our effort to make sure that New Yorkers know all the great opportunities that are available at SUNY.
Chancellor King, I'd like you, if for a moment, if you could sort of put on your former hat of U.S. Education Secretary. We've seen a lot of executive orders come out of the new Trump administration regarding education in the last few days, including for one calling for a quote-unquote patriotic education and changes to curriculum regarding U.S. history. Have you been able to absorb any of these executive orders? What do you think?
You know, it's early days. Many of these executive orders are already being challenged in court. Some have been blocked by courts. I think it's going to take some time to understand the exact scope of the implications from these executive orders. But at the end of the day, you know, every new administration brings opportunities and challenges. We think there's a huge opportunity for bipartisan collaboration around workforce development, investing in our public higher education system to be an engine of economic opportunity for all Americans. We think there's an opportunity to strengthen the relationship between high schools and colleges and preparing young people for careers. So as I talk with our congressional delegation, I'm optimistic that we will find ways for everyone to work together across the aisle for the benefit of our students.
Is SUNY prepared for any potential cuts in any federal aid that the state receives in regards to President Trump's policies or ideas around DEI, as one example? He's often criticized DEI programs and trainings and has said that he would withhold funding from entities that use or incorporate DEI training into their operation.
Look, if you examine the SUNY mission statement from our founding more than 75 years ago, from the very beginning, our charge was to serve all New Yorkers, to be representative of the entirety of the state of New York, and that's core to who we are. You know, if the administration were to propose significant cuts to access to the federal Pell Grant program that helps students access college, I think you'd see tremendous opposition to that across the board from every part of the country and from across the political spectrum. We do a tremendous amount of research at SUNY, research that is helping to find cures to diseases, to ensure our competitive leadership in fields like artificial intelligence, quantum technology, renewable energy. It's in the interest of American national security for higher ed to do that work. I think if you were to see efforts to cut those investments, again, you'd have tremendous opposition across the political spectrum. So at the end of the day, I'm hopeful that our New York congressional delegation will make the case to their colleagues that public higher education is the foundation for the long-term health of our economy and critical to our national security.
And recently we saw a freeze and an unfreeze and a lot of confusion over federal grants that have already been approved by Congress. And I think it's safe to say it's unclear right now about what will happen with the Trump administration's approach to distributing federal funding. But are there any interruptions that you foresee, or even this most recent threat of an interruption, did that sort of gunk anything up in the works for how New York State and SUNY receives funding?
Look, there's a lot of fear and concern from our faculty about the recent actions from the administration. Fortunately, the courts stepped in to block that attempt to freeze all federal funding. We are watching this very closely and working with our faculty members to help them continue their research. Look, it would be not only a loss to SUNY if a researcher who's working to find a better treatment for cancer were forced to stop their research, it'd be a loss to all Americans. And so, you know, we are hopeful that Congress will play a key role here in defending the federal government's commitment to research that improves all of our lives.
So, Chancellor King, we began this conversation by speaking about the initiative to provide free community college for folks who are 25 to age 55. But what about younger people, and how is SUNY addressing today's students who may be less open to a college education?
You know, it's all about showing folks the return on investment. And, you know, our four-year institutions, the tuition is just over $7,000. At our community colleges, the tuition is typically between $5,000 and $6,000 for the year. So we keep our institutions affordable, and we can show students that if they pursue a degree in cybersecurity or IT, for example, they can get a fantastic job that can be the platform for a wonderful career, making great salaries. We can show students that if they pursue training in an area like veterinary technicians, they can, again, have very good earnings and a very satisfying career. So we spend a lot of time making sure that students understand that value proposition. And we do a lot to partner with our high schools. We have a lot of dual enrollment programs across the state where students actually begin taking college classes while in high school. And the governor in her budget committed additional funding to support intensive college high school partnerships, an early college model. We also have our PTEC schools where students are earning a high school diploma, an associate's degree, and through work with an employer partner, are first in line for a job when they graduate. And that's across a number of industries, from healthcare to advanced manufacturing to technology. So we're working hard, to show folks the value proposition of higher education.
And just going back to the state budget, is there anything else, Chancellor King, that you are excited for in the budget proposal?
A couple things that I'd highlight. One, the governor provided permanent funding for an initiative called ASAP and ACE. These are wraparound support programs that have been proven in randomized controlled trials around the country. They've been shown to dramatically improve college persistence and completion. We were able to launch ASAP and ACE programs at two-year and four-year institutions because of transformation funding the governor provided 2 years ago. We are scaling the programs to 25 of our campuses. But that was one-time money. And in the budget this year, the governor included permanent funding for ASAP and ACE, as well as funding that will put us on the path to grow the program from about 4,300 students now to 10,000 students over the next 2 years. So we're very excited about that because it's very important that we make sure the students who start finish with a meaningful degree. We were also very excited to see the governor's commitment to a innovation and laboratory fund to support our capital needs at our research-intensive institutions. We want to have labs at our research institutions that are competitive with the best in the country so that we can attract the best faculty in the country and deliver the research that will ensure New York's leadership in fields from battery technology to biotech.
I think we'll leave it there. Chancellor King, thank you so much for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
John King is Chancellor of the State University of New York and a former U.S. Secretary of Education. You're listening to The Best of Our Knowledge. I'm Lucas Willard. This is The Best of Our Knowledge. You've probably heard of virtual reality, but what about extended reality? The new XR lab at Western New England University in Springfield, Massachusetts, wants to put cutting-edge tech in the hands of students and faculty. WAMC's Pioneer Valley Bureau Chief James Polyoligopoulos reports.
Nestled deep in the DeMoor Library is WNE's new XR Lab, a hub decked out with virtual reality headsets, monitors, and spaces designed to enhance education. Robert E. Johnson is president of the university.
The XR Lab will allow students to live concept rather than theoretical. And I think that that is really, really, really important. This is more than just a lab. It is a hub for innovation, collaboration, and leadership. It positions WNE at the forefront of immersive technology, ensuring our students are ready to lead and thrive in an evolving world.
Johnson spoke before a ribbon cutting Friday. Already up and running, the room features about a dozen laptops with monitors and chairs sectioned off by tape, space for users to stand or sit in and interact with the haptic tech. The equipment, which includes MetaQuest headsets as well as VR platforms like NVIDIA's Omniverse, has been on the market for a while now. Their integration at Western New England is the product of a collaboration between the university and technology partner Link to VR, a company overseen by WNE alumnus Edward Zemba.
This is an extended reality lab, so it's as opposed to just a virtual reality lab, which again, nothing wrong with that. We've stood those up too. Virtual reality labs are only for VR. This is an extended reality lab, so this actually is going to give access to the community and to the students of Western New England, virtual, mixed, augmented reality supported with AI solutions, all in one lab.
The AI component was on full display during demonstrations. Many of the stations sport a platform known as Body Swaps, a VR-based platform for soft skills training through AI-driven simulations, according to the university. Those simulations can vary from public speaking engagements to job interviews, with AI-controlled characters gauging and reacting to the user's actions. The user can also review their own actions after the fact. According to Dr. Marcus Davis, Dean of the College of Arts and Sciences, as well as Director of the XR Lab, it's that review that can provide some of the most valuable learning experiences for students, building those soft skills while providing a space where the stakes are low, but the takeaways can be high.
Let's say you screw up, you can replicate it. You can also go back into the environment after you've done the module and see yourself presenting and study it and see, were you using your hands correctly? What did your argument look like? And so gamifying these professional environments is an exciting skill set. It's used all over industry in areas such as where you might be trying to learn how to work in a hazardous environment, such as in an engineering area or with hazardous equipment. Think about surgeons, for example, that can work in a virtualized environment before they're working with actual patients, which of course is dangerous, risky to the health of individuals.
Davis says there's plenty of potential to apply the technology. The programs and platforms that make up XR can mean entrepreneurial students practicing interpersonal and marketing skills, or law students possibly refining their litigation strategies in moot court simulations. For now, the lab's rollout continues. The dean tells WAMC that as of this semester, 7 faculty members across disciplines are planning to integrate the lab in some way, including body swaps. Already, communications and psychology faculty appear to be on board, he says. Kaylee Godek is a junior majoring in sports management with minors in communications and athletic coaching. She tells WAMC her journalism class will be using the lab soon.
We don't fully know what we're going to be doing with it, but probably using the body swaps, which has been used in a lot of the people that have been using it today. So it's just a really cool thing, like to practice your public speaking, interviews, different things like that. It's just a really cool thing with it.
Davis says while the lab is starting at a moderate size, he anticipates more disciplines joining in by fall, with the hope to see various computer science and engineering courses getting in on the lab, in addition to potential research activity. By way of disclosure, Western New England University hosts WAMC's Pioneer Valley Bureau, with members of the station participating in its journalism-related courses. Reporting from Springfield, this is James Polyoligopoulos at WAMC's Pioneer Valley News Bureau on the campus of Western New England University.
You're listening to The Best of Our Knowledge. I'm Lucas Willard. Marist College, a private institution in New York's Hudson Valley, is officially Marist University. The university celebrated the name change in late January. WAMC's Hudson Valley Bureau Chief Jesse King has more.
The private university threw a party to celebrate the rebranding at its new Dyson Center, a student hub that opened last fall. Packed onto three separate floors overlooking the main lobby, students popped confetti cannons, swapped video messages with the school's Italy and Ireland campuses, and scrambled to catch new Marist University t-shirts. The New York Board of Regents voted to approve Marist University status in December. President Kevin Wyman says the school does not plan to increase class sizes or change its academic offerings as a result of the upgrade. He says the name change was a long time coming, that Marist already had the markings of a university with multiple abroad programs, graduate studies, and Division I sports teams. He hopes making it official will help draw in students beyond the Hudson Valley.
Quite often, Marist has been described as a well-kept secret. We will always remain committed to our founding value of doing good quietly. But that said, it's time the world knows more about the amazing things happening here every day. I don't want to be a well-kept secret anymore, do you?
No.
That's because this is our moment.
Oh my gosh, I'm absolutely jazzed. I was honestly...
Marist is perhaps hoping to attract students like Valencia Hill. Hill is a junior studying marketing and public relations. She applied to Marist from her hometown in Las Vegas without ever seeing or visiting the campus. In fact, Hill didn't come to Poughkeepsie until the fall, having spent the first half of her college experience at Marist's International Campus in Dublin. Hill has been working with a group of students on a new marketing campaign for Marist University and gave a speech at Wednesday's celebration.
But now that I'm here, it's surreal, you know? I feel like I've talked to a lot of students since making my speech, and all of them kind of share the same kind of feelings that I do of, like, we were all a part of this, and there was constant communication about rebranding and what Marist University might feel like, and everybody was just, we all just were kind of one, like, common cause to make this happen, and I'm just really excited.
Marist's mascot will remain the Red Foxes, but it unveiled a new logo, a red shield with a design from the original Marist College seal. The campus also has a new catchphrase, which is simply, quote, inspired to do more, end quote. Both get a thumbs up from junior Loretta Russell.
I love it a lot. I love the logo. I love our new catchphrase. I think it's adorable. I think it's perfect. I love it. Super duper cute. Super excited about it.
Tom Schein, class of 1981, drove up from Long Island to celebrate his alma mater with friends. He says it's not just the logo that looks new to him.
It's not the same place I went to. There were only like six buildings when we were here. So now to see all these buildings, it's amazing. It really is. The new president is amazing.
Outside the Dyson Center, the vibe is a little more mellow and windy. Christian Avancina, a junior political science major, says he hopes the university designation will help Marist stand out more.
I think it's awesome. It's definitely a little bit new. And I think it adds a lot more pride to it because, you know, I attend a lot of sports games and especially basketball games. And I got to say, having that university touch honestly adds so much more to the pride, in, at least in my opinion.
Student Braden Sarno says he's happy for the school. He's not sure how much any additional recognition or popularity from Marist will help him, per se, as a student who's set to graduate next year, but he's happy.
if it improves my education, which, you know, everybody spends a lot of money on education and, you know, college, etc. If it improves it, I mean, I'm you know, welcome to it, especially like with the cost of it these days.
Marist has more than 6,300 students. Reporting for the Best of Our Knowledge, I'm Jesse King.
Coming up on the next episode of The Best of Our Knowledge, we'll learn about ancient tattoos. A new study used laser technology to illuminate the preserved skin of Peruvian mummies, revealing tattoo designs 1,200 years old. Here's a clip of Tom Kay, a researcher from the Foundation for Scientific Advancement in Sierra Vista, Arizona.
So we looked at hundreds of tattoos, and the designs were quite varied. It was not like they had the same logo, Nike logo, on every one of these tattoos. They were as varied as the individuals were from what we saw. The ones we examined in particular, one of them looked like fish scales. They had little triangles all next to each other and connected at the corners. Another one we looked at was on the hand, and it had a vine motif on it with kind of leaves coming off of it. And the third one we looked at was just on the knuckle of the finger, and it was just straight lines kind of very close together. So we didn't see anything that I could tell with my eye that was a kind of an overarching theme from these tattoos, and they were quite varied.
That's Tom Kay from the Foundation for Scientific Advancement. You can hear more on the next episode of The Best of Our Knowledge. If you'd like to tell The Best of Our Knowledge what you think, send us an email at knowledge@wamc.org. You can listen to The Best of Our Knowledge anytime as a podcast, downloadable wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to catch up on past episodes or hear more WAMC National Productions programs on the news, academic study, books, women's issues, the media, and the environment, visit wamcpodcasts.org. This has been The Best of Our Knowledge, episode 1792. The Best of Our Knowledge is a national production of WAMC, Northeast Public Radio. Thanks to associate producer Madeline Reynolds. The latest on all national productions programs is available via the Airwaves newsletter and our flagship station's website, wamc.org. Until next time, I'm Lucas Willard.